When Pastor Mike leaves, he loves to leave us in good hands, and Pastor Mary would say if she was here that this was like Christmas morning. And we have Pastor Benny Perez in the house all the way from Church LV. Yes. And when he comes, he preaches the house down every time. I told him this morning I wish Wendy was here with him because I love her outfits. Please let her know that I love her outfits. But we're so excited to have him today. He had an awesome word at 9 a.m. I know it's going to be good again. So CFTN, would you please stand with me and give Pastor Benny a warm, warm welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap, and he's worthy. You may be seated. Thank you so much. So good. A couple things that you know, but you need to hear it already, that you have world-class pastors. Come on, and Pastor Maiden, come on, and Dr. Maiden and Pastor Mary. And I'm glad they get to go and celebrate. Is it their what are the anniversary? What is it? What are they celebrating? 44th wedding anniversary. That amazing, huh? So they're in Europe, and so, you know, just a couple things. Just continue to pray for your pastors, love on your pastors, and it's good that pastors get a break because they have to deal with you. Come on, are you hearing me? And so we're just so grateful. God, just bless, Lord God, our pastors right now. And you bless them, God, I pray. Let this be, Lord God, one of their best trips they ever had, I pray, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And let them, Lord God, get an autograph from Bruce Springsteen in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen to that. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I got a great word, but I don't think we could over-honor our moms. So every mom, again, can you stand to your feet one more time? All the moms, stand up one more time. Come on, moms. Come on. Now let's give them a big, come on, like, I love you, Mom. My mom's in California. Love you, Mom. Maybe she's watching me preach. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to go right to the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I will not make any, I'm sorry, I said something about the Phoenix Suns at the 9 a.m., and so I feel so bad. I feel so bad, but I don't even know why you ever believe they would do anything, but I'm just, I feel so bad. I feel so bad that my Lakers are still in it. I just feel so good. We got one Laker fan who's a brave one. Amen. So I'm gonna reach out to my friend Kevin Durant and tell him that he needs to come to this church when he's in Phoenix and during the season. So I'll shoot him a text and just that, is Kevin Durant your friend by faith? Amen. He's my friend. You laugh, but you know, I used to say this. I used to say, you know, when I go to the White House, when I used to make declarations like, you know what, I called those things that be not as they were, and I've been in the White House twice, and it was crazy, right? I used to say, man, my friend Joel Osteen, I never met him, and now me and Joel Osteen has become really good friends. So my friend Kevin Durant, so you're all laughing, so. Okay, I'll make a deal. The Lakers are going to win the championship this year. Then we'll give it to you next year. No? Okay, fantastic. You're just a hater. That's all you are. You're a hater. You don't know Jesus, you hater. It's okay. I love my enemies. I love you. I love you all. Yeah. All right. You ready for the word of God? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I won't be so funny. I'll just be right to the point today, so it's going to be very boring. Luke 24, verse 13 says this. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking, discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still looking sad. Then one of them named Cleopas answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, now look at this, what things? Isn't that crazy? How many know that he knows what things, because the what things is about him? You got to see Jesus in a different light. He's kind of playing with them a little bit, trying to engage with them a little bit. Like, really? What things, right? And they said, to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 26, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them when he was at the table. Somebody say, at the table. When he was at the table with them, he took, come on, tortillas and carne asada. I'm sorry for all the Hispanics here. I know you thought I was Middle Eastern, but I'm actually Hispanic Latino. Anybody like carne asada? Come on, carne asada. Amen. Habla español? Habla español, anybody? Should I preach in Spanish? I don't know Spanish, but one day I'll learn. When he was at the table, somebody say, at the table. Look what he did. He took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Look at verse 31. And their eyes were what? Come on, CF10. Their eyes were what? Say it louder. Their eyes were what? Say it louder. Or else we'll be here till 3. Their eyes were what? Yep. And they what? Recognize too. Yes. And he vanished from their sight, and they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened up the scriptures? Father, thank you for your word, and I pray, God, that it would do what your word says it will do, would not come back void. I pray, God, it would spring up into all of our hearts and lives, and we see you, Jesus, in a new way. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. For the sake, go ahead and start it, guys, so I can start on end on time. You gave me 40 minutes. Just put it down to 35, because I'll preach too long then. Most messages that I get, I pray, and obviously I study, and we do series at our church. And this message is a little bit different because we had just finished Easter. And if you're new to church, Easter is like the Super Bowl for churches. Let's be honest. I mean, it's packed. More salvations, at least at our church, and it's wild, it's crazy. We ran out of room. No more parking in the parking lot. It was incredible. I mean, it's like, yes, and then most preachers, at least I'll just say, this preacher doesn't like to preach the week after Easter because nobody comes back. Are you hearing me, right? So I'm just like, you know what, this year I'm going to preach the week after Easter, and God, doesn't matter because, Lord, you go after the one, so I'm just going to give him my best. Give me a message, Lord. And so I was preaching, studying and just thinking on Monday and Tuesday, and I wasn't really getting anything. And then one day I woke up, and it was amazing that the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and he said, the road to Emmaus. It was the voice of God that I heard in my head, and I began to realize that I have never, in 37 years of preaching, preached the text that I just read, the road to Emmaus. I've preached all kinds of things from the scriptures, but I've never, ever took the time to preach this message. So this text, I just began to read it. I read it again. I was just kind of doing a little bit of study. And so then I went to bed. And the next morning, any early morning people here? Wave your hand. You like to wake up early in the morning? How many are not early morning people? That's why you're at 11 o'clock service today, right? My wife is not a morning person. My wife wakes up at the crack of noon. Come on, somebody. Breakfast is at noon. Come on, in the Perez household. That's what it is, right? So just telling you that, I don't know why I'm telling you that. And so I woke up. I wake up naturally at 5:30 every morning. This morning I woke up at 5:30. I set the alarm at 7, but woke up at 5:30. But this morning I woke up at 5 a.m. I'm like, God, you're robbing me of 30 minutes of sleep. Right? And I don't know if this ever happened to you. I woke up and immediately as if heaven had opened up and I begin to literally have these God thoughts hit me so much so I grabbed my phone and God began to download the message I'm about to preach to you. I mean, it was that amazing, and I wish it would happen that way all the time, but it doesn't. I steal most of my material from your pastor, then I preach it 3 weeks later, all right? I don't know why you're laughing. I'm just confessing it right now before my brother. And I could show you my notes section of my iPhone, and my thumbs weren't going fast enough. I jumped out of bed, and I ran to the kitchen. I had a pad of paper, and I began to write this message down. And I knew it was a message not just for me, not just for our church, but it was a message to be preached wherever the Lord would send me this year. And so if you're writing on the title of the message is very simply this: recognizing Jesus. Somebody say that with me. Say, recognizing Jesus. So I want to encourage us today. There are some things that needed to happen in your life, and there's some things that are going to happen. But I could assure you that everything that has happened in your life may not have been from God, but how many know God can get glory from anything that has happened in your life? God is not the author of tragedy, disaster, all the things that happen. But I know that I've been living long enough that God could turn around things in my life. Come on, somebody, in your life. The Bible says what the enemy meant for evil, come on, God will turn around for good. Somebody's asking me, what do you think is going to happen with the economy? What do you think is going to happen, you know, with this year? Are we going to be in a recession? What's going to go on? I said, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen in culture. I don't know what's going to happen in the world, but I know what's going to happen in God's kingdom. Come on, is anybody with me? Listen, if God takes care of the flowers, come on, if he takes care of the birds, come on, church, he's going to take care of us. Can I hear a big amen to that right now? I don't know. Yes, I prophesy, and yes, I hear from God, but listen to me, I don't know what is coming, but I do know that in the kingdom, the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to happen. It's going to happen sooner than we think. We're on the verge of a mighty revival, come on somebody, that we've never seen before. I believe that with my whole heart. But in the midst of all this, some of us can miss out on what God is doing in our lives. We can actually miss Jesus standing next to us, walking with us at times. And here's the issue. Just because you don't feel God, see God, or even hear God doesn't mean that God isn't with you. I call your attention back to the text. And the text gives a story of two people. One is named Cleopas. So we know later on that this is a husband and wife. They are disciples of Jesus. And the Bible says that they are now walking from Jerusalem. They are walking back to a place called Emmaus, the place of familiarity for them. We do know that they are a little troubled because they had just witnessed the crucifixion, burial, and yet they've heard about the resurrection, but they're not sure if Jesus resurrected or not from the dead. They are now depressed, discouraged, traumatized, and they're walking back, and the Bible paints a story of them talking and reasoning among themselves. They are wondering why this happened this way. They are wondering, wait, he said that he was going to do this, and they thought he was going to be a political a deliverer, and yet it did not happen. And in this, Jesus himself shows up and he begins to walk with them. But the fact is that they did not even recognize Jesus even when he was talking to them. Do you understand what I'm talking about? These were disciples of Jesus. They had walked with Jesus. They knew his voice, but they have been through so much trauma and pain and so much difficulty that they can't even see him and they can't even recognize his voice. Now, before I'm critical of them, I have found myself on my own road to Emmaus. I have found myself many times reasoning, wondering, and just walking, and I don't even recognize that Jesus is with me. So I want to give you what the Lord gave to me. And the first point, very simply, is this: Jesus is missed when our present reality does not meet our expectations. Jesus is missed when our present reality does not meet our expectations. They were walking and talking, rehearsing and remembering. How many of you guys talk to yourself a lot? I'm raising my hand right now. You have conversations in your head. If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. We all have conversations. You say, man, this outfit really looks good. I know it really looks good. My wife has conversations in her head. She asks me, hey, how does this outfit make me look? I know as a good husband, great. Because she's having a conversation in her head, doesn't make it. See, we all have conversations in our head, and these two were talking and rehearsing. They were remembering all the events that they have witnessed, and they were reasoning among themselves. Please hear me. If all you do is reason among yourselves, if all you do is just try to think about it, figure it out, you could reason yourself into weariness. People ask me, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did I say, listen, I don't know, but I cannot rely on my own reasoning. I can't rely on my own ability. I can't rely on my own knowledge. I can't rely on my own wisdom or strength. That's why the Bible says, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own in all your ways, and he will make your... Now, isn't it great that you actually have the scripture memorized, but you don't obey it? I'll just speak for myself. It is easier for me to quote the scripture than obey the scripture. Okay, let me try these people over here. You could throw that out. Yeah, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean on your own, stand in all your ways, and all your team, and you'll make your path straight. And then something hits you tomorrow. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? I don't even know what's happening. Okay, let me talk to real people. Right? And you start playing that old song, reasons why we... Okay, you don't even know, right? And here's the problem, is because we're human. We're human. We have emotion. We have brains, right? We think we're smarter than we are. I told somebody this recently, I said, it's better you know the reason why. You don't want to know the reason. Just because you know the reason of why it happened doesn't change what happened. I'm not concerned about the reasons why. I still have a trust in a God that no matter what has happened in my life, that he is a redeemer, he is a restorer, he is a waymaker, he is a healer, he is a breakthrough God. I don't have to understand why. I could just trust him. Somebody say amen to that. I love this because this is humanity. This is us right now in the time that we're living in. We reason. We're talking about things. What's going to happen? What's going on? And in the midst of all this, Jesus draws near. Notice what it says. He draw near to them. They didn't draw near to him. Their eyes were kept from noticing him. The question was, what kept them from recognizing Jesus? Let me camp here for a second. Preaching isn't about me telling you everything. It's me provoking you to think. Preaching is me looking at the text and provoking you to ask the question. Why were they kept from seeing Jesus? Then the Holy Spirit takes that. This is how you interact with the text. You meditate on the text. The meditation is you chew and re-chew and chew it again, and you think. Why is that? Now, I submit to you that I believe that maybe the reason why they were kept from recognizing Jesus, because the trauma and pain they have been through has now blinded them to Jesus standing right next to them. You know what's crazy about trauma and pain? It could become so encompassing. That's all your life is about. But they were kept from recognizing Jesus. The conversations had made them sad. What kind of conversations are you having with yourself and others? No doubt that what you talk about will impact your emotional health. How many times have I gotten stuck and sad because of rehearsing what has taken place, but not taking the time to frame it in the right perspective? It's good preaching, I know. just wondering if you're hearing what I'm saying. Number one, Jesus is missed when our present reality does not meet our expectations. Number two, write it down. Jesus is missed when we see only with our eyes, not his. In verses 17 through 21, Jesus asks, what things? As if he did not know. The things were about him. How many of you have raised kids before? You've raised kids. Can I see your hand? Okay. Some of you are like, oh my God, you must be right in the middle of raising them. Amen. You know what they say? It's long days, but short years. I was just on my phone, videos pop up, you know, because the iPhone does that. And it popped up for 2014. I saw my little son. I'm like, where did the years go? Those were long days. They're short years. When I was raising those kids along with Wendy, you know, we always wanted to interact with them. And we didn't ask them questions because we didn't know. We asked them questions because we wanted to have a conversation. And this is what Jesus is doing. Jesus here, he's saying, what things? It's not because he doesn't know. It's because he wants to actually interact. He wants to actually have a conversation. He wants him to be the center of their conversation. I love how we see Jesus wanting to interact and be engaging. They begin to explain the events to him, but they explain the events through their eyes, not his. What do they say? Look, oh, Jesus, mighty prophet. Oh, Jesus, he was supposed to deliver us, but he did not. Oh, Jesus, the chief priests and rulers delivered him up and crucified him. All that they were saying, church, was actually true, but not really fully true. Because how many know that Jesus is much more than just a prophet? Jesus is and was and forever be. Come on, the Son of God. How do you know that Jesus was not to deliver them? They were looking for a political deliverer. And if we're not careful, that's what the church is looking for right now. We're looking for a political deliverer. Now, I'm old enough to tell you I've lived through multiple Republicans and multiple Democrats in the White House. Okay, I'm going to go there for a second. I'm going to go there. Because, listen, there may be different leaders. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a conservative. Take it or leave it, whatever. I don't care. But let me tell you something. There have been conservatives and liberals in the White House. I don't put my faith and trust in the White House because there's one house, God's house, and that ruler never changes. That king is not voted on, and our God is still in control. Somebody say amen. Believe me, I vote. Believe me, I do my thing. But let me tell you something. I still believe God is in control of things in Jesus' name. So what happens is, as we go back to the text, they thought they were going to deliver him, that Jesus was going to deliver them, and that the chief priests and rulers watched crucified him. Let me tell you something. They are looking at it through their eyes and not his, and they're missing Jesus in the midst. Because Jesus, his life was not taken. The chief rulers and the chief priests, they did not crucify him. They did not take his life. Jesus said, I could call 1,000 angels down right now and deliver myself. No, they are looking through their eyes and not his. I'm going to tell you, Jesus' life wasn't taken. Jesus' life was laid down for us. They are missing the point. Why? How many times do we miss the point because we're looking through our eyes and not his eyes? Yeah. I'm telling you, I just point to myself. I'm guilty 100%. How many times I look at a situation, I'm doing it through my eyes and not his eyes. And I'm missing the point. They're missing Jesus, and Jesus is having a conversation with them. And he lets them talk. He lets them tell him what they think is happening. They give credit now to the chief priests. They give credit to these plans of men. But no, that's not the way it works. I wrote this down. Are you ready? Write this down. Just because we don't understand God's path does not mean he does not have a plan. Just because we don't understand God's path doesn't mean he doesn't have a plan. They don't understand it. They don't understand the plan. They think the plan, what? No, no, no. No, they don't understand the path. They don't understand it. But they think, wait, what's happening? No, God still has a plan. We're in a miracle right now. Dr. Maynard's preached one of the best messages at our church, the God of the comeback. And being what? How many consecutive lawsuits and losing stuff and living in their car and the challenges with the children. Let me tell you something, that's not the path that I would want. But it doesn't mean that God did not have a plan. And we are here because God's plan will prevail. We are here because Jesus was with the maidens every step of the way. And he is with you. But you got to look through his eyes and not yours. Oh, these men, this husband and wife, they are there. And Jesus then begins to open their eyes to everything about himself in the scriptures, beginning from the prophets to the very end. Everything about the scripture, everything about the word of God is the overarching plan of redemption and restoration through Jesus. And if that's the plan in scripture, that's the plan in my life. There's areas of my life I'm standing here today believing for restoration of a relationship. I'm standing here today believing God, that God, you are here to redeem. Come on, somebody, and restore. When Pastor was up here and he was talking to the parents, don't give up. I'm a miracle. Don't give up. My mom and dad were praying for me. You know what he is? It's a story of God's redemption and restoration in his life. This is what it's all about. It's all about Jesus and the power to redeem and the power to restore, that nobody is too far from God. Nobody is too far out of the reach of God. There is nobody on this planet that God cannot reach, that God cannot touch, that God cannot do for a miracle for. We just have to look through his eyes and not ours. Number three, write this down and I'm done. And I have said nothing about the Phoenix Suns. I don't have to. Number three. Quickly, save me, back of house people on the screen. Quick, I feel stones being picked up right now. They're going to stone me. Thank you so much. Write it down. Jesus is recognized at the table. Jesus now begins to rebuke them and show them himself in the scripture. And then it says something very interesting. I'm going to go back to the scripture in my phone. It says this: when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were what? Open. Say it loud. Their eyes were what? Open. Jesus watched the progression, now stays with them. A better word would be abides with them. That Jesus is taking time with them. They are taking time with Jesus, and they are at a table. Now, I know we have a table up here. Most of us grew up in the Western culture. So when I go out to lunch, we sit at a table with chairs. My daughter Bella, 18, graduated from her second year of Bible college. She's a rock star. She's amazing. So we had 20 people at Texas Day Brazil, Brazilian steakhouse, And we're there, and we're eating at a table. That when we say at a table, that's what we think. But in Jesus' day, it was different. Jesus' day, it was actually a low-lying table. And you would have cushions and pillows. And what you would do is you would actually recline at the table. And you would rest at the table, reclining with your feet behind you, all kinds of cushions, and you would have food. And you would actually take time, not just to enjoy the food, but to enjoy the company. You didn't have your phone checking social media. Okay, let me work with somebody. Instead of enjoying the present that you're in, you're wondering what you're missing out. You got FOMO. Oh, I wonder what's happening. What's happening? What's happening? And it's so crazy. I know I'm a people observer because I work with people. Me and my wife go to dinner. We're having a conversation, and we'll see another couple, and they both have their phones scrolling. Like, you need marriage counseling. Jesus and them are taking time at the table, and their eyes were open. Watch me. They recognized him at the table. That's just crazy. What does Jesus do? He has a meal with them We know it as the Lord's Supper, but this is time that they were now taking bread, and he blessed it, he took it, broke it, and he gave it to them. Now this is wild. I never saw it before. Let's think. It's only 12:30. If you don't get with me, well, it'll be 3:30. We'll still be sitting here. When do you see the first meal in the Bible? Not in Jesus' ministry. In the Bible. When's the first time you see somebody eating something in the Bible? Genesis. Who was in the garden? Adam and husband and wife. Now, somebody first service said apple, and somebody heard apple. It's not in the Bible. It's not apple. I'm going to think of a piece of fruit I don't like. That's what it was. Okay. Now, here's what's crazy, right? Look. There's a husband and wife. On the road to Emmaus, there's a husband and wife. They're having a meal with Jesus. This is the first meal after the resurrection. The first meal in the new covenant. The first meal in new creation. Okay, it's going to get even better. The first meal in old creation was with the husband and wife. But God wasn't in the picture. Somebody else came into the picture. And watch the text. Let's go. I can preach to you. Where are you? Stand up so I can preach to you, because they're all dead for me right now. But let me preach to you, dear lady, right now, because I feel something right now. Because what happened in the garden is that they took and they ate and their eyes were open. But in this meal, Jesus took and Jesus gave and their eyes were open. No, it gets even better. See, I grew up in old Pentecostal church where people would start running. That was so sophisticated in church. We're like, that good, bro. Your legs going like that. The only reason why I'm doing this is I'm tired. I got a rest on the front row. No, I grew up in an old Pentecostal church where all of a sudden, man, the preacher would hit a revelation and Brother Eddie would stand up and Brother Eddie would like, and then suddenly keyboard, na na na, na na na, and the Lord said, na na, you're coming out, na na, you're coming out, you're coming out, and people would go crazy. Isn't it crazy? Adam and Eve, husband and wife, their eyes were open to what? Sin, shame, condemnation, and they were afraid of God's presence. You want to know why? When we take control, when we eat, when we do it our way, when we say, oh, I know, lover boy, I know you're a player. I know, you got you. You do it your way. And I can't be handcuffed to one woman. Look at me. Keep doing it your way, Burger King. Let's see how it works out for you. Okay, you don't want to talk to me over here. Sin is fun, but for a season. Every time I've done it my way, my eyes aren't open to what I should really be seeing. Can you see this? Can you see this? Come back to the keyboards, please. Jesus took it, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. What's my point to the message? their eyes were open and they recognized him. They recognized him at the table. What does a table represent? It represents a place of communion, conversation, rest. We are so flipping crazy busy in this nation. In fact, some of you are here, but you're not here. Don't be mad at me. You're not here. In your mind, you're smiling at me like. And you're saying, I'm hungry. How long is he going to go? He already said this point 3 times. If the Suns were still in the playoffs, we got to hurry. Game's on. But they're not. Don't hate when I'm telling the truth. You know what the Lord's dealing with me on? So not with you, but with me. He goes, Benny, he goes, I don't care about all the stuff you care about. And I heard this from the Lord. He said, I just want to spend time with you. We're so busy, huh? We're just like, you know, come on, I got to grind. I'm grinding. Rise and grind. That's the mantra of our society. Rise and grind. When the scripture says rest, so here's my point. It is at the table of connection, conversation, communion, and rest that you're going to recognize Jesus like you never recognized him before. Your eyes are going to be open to things. In fact, Jesus did not try to explain the events to them. He said, I'm going to take you through the scripture from the very beginning through all the prophets and let the scripture tell you. Listen, I'm done with saying, God, can you please explain to me why all that had to happen? I'm like, God, I don't understand all that, but I know that you're with me. I want you to open up my eyes, Lord God, to things I could not see. I want you to open up my eyes to see you like I've never seen you before, God. I want to recognize Jesus on a walk. I want to recognize Jesus at the beach. I want to recognize Jesus in my prayer closet. I want to recognize Jesus wherever I am, but it's got to be at a place called the table. So the Lord's been dealing with me, and I said, Wendy, we need to do something. So we're thinking about how to do this to help you, and I'm just going to do it for free. I'm not going to charge this one. And I just want to do table talks, table moments, where we just do some stuff just to help you just get in the moment. How many of you are married? Can I see your hands? You're married. Put your hands down. How many of you want to be married one day? Can I see your hands? Okay, I could do this right now from Vegas. I can marry you in 3 minutes. Let me just be prophetic and just set you up right now. Arranged marriages work better, by the way. Just letting you know right now. Okay, married couples, can I see your hand? Married couples, can I see your hand? Married couples, can I see your hand? Keep your hands up. I've been married 24 years, okay? Yeah, that's good, yeah. Okay, put your hands down. You know what my wife, Wendy, she's amazing. She says, Benny, all I really want is... It's just you. I just want to talk. I just want to connect with you. I said, why didn't you tell me that before I bought you the watch? See, no man out there wants to say amen. I know. You leave me hanging right here. I know. I got you, bro. I got you. Yeah, I know in a street fight where you go, you're running. I know. Her point is Benny, I'm grateful for the things I really am. I'm grateful that you take care of the family. I'm grateful that for all the stuff, I'm grateful. But we had that moment. I don't know, when you're married couples, you don't have that moment where you just feel that connection. And you know, it's not over a thing. It's not over a house. It's not over a material possession. It's like, I don't know, you just connect at this deep level. Can I tell you, that's the way God is. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride.
I wonder what would happen. I got just a few moments and I'm catching a plane. I don't know if you know, but I have my own plane. It has a logo on it. It's a cool logo. It says Southwest. I share it with so many people. When they get on, I say, welcome to my plane.
One person confronted me recently, and this person said to me, I didn't like you. I don't like you. I didn't like you because you were too funny. You were just a comedian. I just didn't think you were really preaching anything. Now, if you feel that about me, please don't come and tell me that. There are some things that you should just keep to yourself and God. Can I hear an amen right now? I actually had a guy, somebody come up to me, they go, wow, you're so skinny. Okay, when I turn 60, all my filters are off. I'm going to come up to people, you're ugly, you're fat, you smell, you don't know what fashion is. But right now, I'm not 60 yet, so I'll stay sanctified with the Lord right now. But what would happen? Somebody told me, I think there's 158 hours in a week. Somebody told me that. I think, I don't know, maybe Google it or something right now. Fact check it for me, right? Okay, so let's just do it this way. 7 days. 7 days times eight is 56. Come on, like that? 168, thank you. But let's just do this. You're sleeping for 8 hours. Let's just say you're working for 8 hours. I know that could, but let's say you have 8 hours. So that's 56 hours. Let me say it to you this way. Please hear my heart on this because I'm a pastor and our church is in the greatest season we've ever been. I haven't been there for a while and it's growing. I said, I'll be back in a year because it's growing. It's just like awesome, right? My son preached 2 weeks ago, blew me away. My son, 22 years old, is preaching, no notes, no nothing. Just he studies himself and he starts pointing, starts prophesying over people in the crowd. Thousands of people, he's prophesying. You, sir, right? And he's like, oh, my God, who are you? You are my son, you know? So just hear me. If you come to church once a week, let's just round it up. You're in church for 2 hours because the preacher goes long. 2 hours a week. If you have a midweek, maybe add another 2 hours, but just say, so, what would happen if every day you had table time with Jesus? I think you would add up more time during the week, and that Sunday is the cherry on the top because you've been having a Sunday on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, come on somebody, and Friday. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to, as the Apostle Paul would say, I exhort you. I would urge you, he would write to his letters, right, to the churches at Philippi and Colossae and Thessalonica and Ephesus. And oftentimes, I urge you by the mercies of God. And it's actually just a term of, man, if I want to wrap my arms around you, I just want to put this inside of you. Take time at the table. Put away your phone. Imagine Jesus is there. Hey, Jesus, can we talk? Got to talk to you about my business. I'm really worried. God, I want to talk to you about this person. I haven't talked to him in 2 years, and it's hurting my heart. Jesus, I need to partake from you today so I can have my eyes open to the reality of the kingdom and what you're doing, even when I can't see it or feel it, or Lord God, even have an inkling of it. I just believe, Lord God, if I spend time with you at the table, my eyes will be opened. So, Father, here's my prayer for some of the greatest people on the planet. Thank you, Lord God, that in worship, I felt what the worship leader was saying. You're here. Miracles, healings, breakthroughs. But God, I believe that same presence can be with me in my room. I believe in that same presence. God could be with me in my car as I'm driving. Could be with me as I'm walking. It could be with me in my prayer closet. God, I pray for us today that we recognize you at the table. Lord, we ask, God, that you would lead, you would guide. We take our hands off of it, God, because our first married couple didn't do it right, but you did it right. And now we're in the new covenant. Open our eyes, God, to see. With every eye closed, every head bowed, just in the closing moments that I have, I will jump on a plane and go back to Vegas to be with my wife and my family for Mother's Day. But I want to pray, and there must have been about 10 people at first service that got saved, said yes to Jesus. If you're in this place, you're backslidden, you're away from God, you're not sure about your eternal destination. I was backslidden for 3 years, and then I came back to God, and he met me on a beach in Southern California, 1986, month of July. I had a supernatural encounter with Jesus, and my life has not been the same. My friends, that's been 38 years. And the Lord has been good to me. But you need to make it right with God. Your pastor, when he came up and he said, hey, listen, I was out of the kingdom, but my parents prayed me in. This could be your moment where parents or somebody have prayed you in. You're in church today. And you need to say yes to Jesus. Holy Spirit, you do what you only can do. That's work on people right now. And tug on their hearts, God, to say yes to you. You need a Savior. You can't do it on your own. When I say three, you can lift your hands as high as you can. I just want to recognize you. Are you ready? One, it could be one. It could be none. It could be one. I don't know. Are you ready? One. Are you ready? Two. Just lift your hand up. Ready? When I say three, ready? One, two, three. Shoot your hand up high, 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 high. Like lock out your elbow high so I can see it. Thank you. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Come on, somebody. 22. Come on, 23. Come on, let's give God a big hand clap for people saying yes to Jesus today. Everybody's eyes open up. There was a song that you were singing. Oh, man, I wish I would have forgot. You, I think you were singing the one that I bow down. Is that? Yeah. Yeah, that's. Can we do that one? I don't want to mess it up. Okay, I'm sorry. My rejection issues just came up right now. Can we all pray a prayer together and help these people come into the kingdom? Can I hear an amen right now? Let's all pray right now. Say, dear Heavenly Father, right now, I turn and I receive salvation, forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Say, Holy Spirit, come on in. I belong to you now. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody said amen. Can we give for those people right now? Now, hold on. Before we get going, because I can feel it already. We're going to have prayer people come up, and we're going to do it. I'm going to hand it back to somebody. Who am I handing it back to? I'm going to hand back to somebody else. Now watch. I want to pray. This is what I prayed for the first experience. But there are people here. I've been preaching, and you're on your own road to Emmaus. You're trying to figure stuff out. I don't know. Maybe something. You're just like, man, I can't figure it out. And you find yourself walking and reasoning and recalling stuff. Okay? I want to pray for you. I've been on a 2-year walk right now in a certain area of my life. 2 years. 2 years. So this message is every time I preach it, it recalibrates me. I don't know. I'm going to believe maybe tomorrow something will shift. But until then, I got to keep coming to the table with Jesus. Does that make sense? So if that's you on your own road to Emmaus, can you stand? I'm going to pray for you. Just stand all over this place. You know. I don't know what it is, but these people are dealing with something that happened. They couldn't figure it all out. You know what I mean? And then Jesus shows up. He's with you, dear lady. He's been with you. He's walking with you. You may not feel him, sense him, but he's walking with you. And your eyes are going to open and recognize him. I don't know if you do walks, if you walk at all. I started walking They said you're supposed to do 10,000 steps a month. I said, I could do that. Is it a month? I know, but I'm starting at a month. You got to start somewhere. I just see you walking by yourself, but not really, but literally by yourself. And I see you walking and conversing with Jesus and pouring your heart out to him. And you see something's going to be, even your mind, I see God refiring things, rechanging things in your mind. You watch what happens. Lift your hands if you're standing. Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters right now that are standing. Come on, lift your hands high if you're standing. And God, I pray that you would open their eyes at the table. God, open their eyes to recognize you. Lord, I'm grateful for church. I'm grateful, Lord, for the anointing. But God, I pray on Monday and Tuesday, let them recognize you. Eyes be open at the table with Jesus. And I declare that God is a God of restoration, and he's a God of redemption. And devil, you're a liar. Your plan will not prevail. We declare our God is victorious. His plans will prevail in Jesus' name. Give God a big hand clap right now.